Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Friday, the 28th of October, 2016. I am Steve. I'm just going to do this on my own. Colin is too busy, unfortunately. We had Kyle on a few weeks ago, but what's happened is, basically, with my recording setup, quite often it doesn't record or something goes wrong or I can't quite get my schedule up and running because things go on, and I didn't really want to let anybody down. So sorry, you know, if I haven't asked people on or to do the shows, but what happened, and it happened with Kyle actually, is that, you know, we recorded the show, and as soon as I went to upload it all, it just vanished. So I had to let him know, and we had to do it again, and you know, I just don't want to do that again. So sorry about that. You've just got me. You know, if it's not your cup of tea, if you don't listen to me, no problem, go and listen to another podcast. There's plenty out there, plenty of really good ones as well. I don't listen to all the podcasts now, unfortunately. I used to listen to them all because I had a really long commute, but now I've only got a 10-minute walk to school, I haven't got time to listen to them all. So if any podcast, any Spurs ones, I look at it and I download them all so I can see what the subject is or whatever. But if they're more than sort of an hour and 15 minutes, I just delete it because I just haven't got time to listen to it and you know, churn through the whole thing, you know, listen to opinions. And pretty much most of the time, the opinion is very similar. You know, they disapprove of one certain player one week and then it's the same the next one, and a lot of the podcasters, another thing they do is they agree with each other a bit too much. So the reason I'm doing this show is just to give my opinion, which might be a little bit different. Sometimes I like to play devil's advocate, so if somebody says, you know, the League Cup isn't important, then I like to say, well, actually it is, and you're wrong, because our best memory from the last 25 years, really, because we haven't won the FA Cup for 25 years. Our best memories are the League Cup. You know, you can talk about Champions League being, you know, fantastic. Champions League better than winning those League Cups? Well, beating Arsenal 5-1 and beating Chelsea in the final at Wembley, nothing tops that, in my opinion. So, you know, you can bang on about your 0-0 AC Milan at home, you know, the atmosphere, or the game against Inter Milan, or up at Man City when we beat them with the Peter Crouch goal. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. Wonderful, wonderful moments. But the best moment for me in the last 25 years, two of them. Beating Arsenal 5-1. What an atmosphere. What an occasion. Fantastic moment. And the final against Chelsea. So, sorry, but the you know, is it a fact? It's a fact for me that our greatest moment was that. And I want to do it again. Unfortunately, won't be able to because, you know, we play such a soppy team up at Liverpool. Jason McGovern rightly said, change one or two of the players, don't change them all. I don't know why why we played that midfield of Nkudu, Onuma and Carroll. You know, they've all had their moments, I suppose, but there have been few or far between. And to not have, you know, Wanyama sat in there is just criminal to me, because, you know, people pay the money to go and watch these games and, you know, I get all up for it. And, you know, the thing is, we all know Liverpool fans. You know, if you're my age, you know loads of Liverpool fans because they were the big team when I was a kid. You know, and the text messages you get afterwards, it's just, you know, it's embarrassing, really. We as a club should really be winning the League Cup every year, in my opinion. You know, to look at, back at the last, say, 15, 20 years, we should have won it eight or nine times. You know, and then we could say, look at all these trophies we won. You know, and it's bragging rights as well. Sorry, Arsenal, when they came to us last year and beat us, their fans went nuts. Okay, they were absolutely crazy celebrating. So don't give me all this, it's a Mickey Mouse Cup. No way. They also tried to win it when they lost to Birmingham, one of the, probably the funniest day in Spurs history, when Birmingham beat them in that last minute, because they were so up for that cup. Talking about getting rosettes and going back to Wembley, you know, which they call it their home and things like that. No, sorry, you lost that game and it was hilarious. So bragging rights massive against Arsenal, and obviously, you know, all the other teams that take it, well, they do kind of take it seriously, don't they? Because if you look back at the League Cup history, the last sort of 10, 15 years have been the big sides that have won it. Probably because their second string is better than our second string, which to me, you know, it's criminal that us, Everton, Villa when they were big, Newcastle definitely should be in the semi-finals and the final of that competition every year. But for some strange reason, us and those other sides, those other sort of, you know, second tier sides, if you like, who don't always qualify for the Champions League, we put out a second string and don't take the League Cup seriously. And what happens every year is we go out of that competition and they go out of that competition and we don't end up winning any trophies. And Man City go and win the League Cup, don't really care about it that much because they go and win the league as well, or do really well in some other competition. And, you know, it's a waste. That's probably why it's Mickey Mouse. It's because these other teams who win it go and win something else as well. So, you know, it's just bizarre that we don't, you know, I just love it if we came out one season and just said, right, this season we are taking the League Cup seriously because it's our best chance of a trophy. But no one in sort of the hierarchy ever says that. So it's crazy to me. I'm going to go to a couple of questions here. Got one from Marcus Aurelius, who says, I don't believe you are doing a podcast. All right. Question. Trophies are one thing, but in an age of Champions League money and league position are everything which ensure a trophy. I mean, I think what he's getting at is what I'm saying there is, yes, Champions League is wonderful, but in my opinion, a trophy is much more important. You know, I'll give you a scenario. Say we win the FA Cup this year, but finish sixth or seventh in the league, okay? Which means that we wouldn't qualify for the Champions League. And someone tweeted me the other day and said things like, you know, well, Hugo Lloris would be off, wouldn't he? And, you know, other top stars would want to go. Well, bye-bye then. Sorry, you know, I'd much rather have a trophy and have that magic of walking out of Wembley, winning the FA Cup, than not being in the FA Cup, watching a team like Arsenal win it. And, well, it doesn't matter because we've kept Hugo Lloris. Well, no, sorry, we'll get a new goalkeeper. You know, Hugo Lloris is a fantastic goalie and everything. But if he wants to go and play Champions League with another club, see you later. I've got my memories of winning an FA Cup, which is far more important than keeping our top players, because we've had top players, we've lost top players, every club does, but what we haven't got is a trophy. Now, go back three or four seasons, then maybe I wouldn't have said this, but now it's getting too long, you know, and I want a trophy this season. You know, if we keep our top players, maybe we'll get a trophy next season, or the season after, or the season after. I mean, how long can we go without having a trophy? We can't go much longer. Because all the other teams, they're all winning trophies and they're all picking up, you know, they're all having these wonderful moments, which I always talk about. You know, I was listening to, you know, and every club is having these moments. You know, I was listening to Matt Letizia, a podcast with him, and he was talking about his moments were staying up, you know, not being relegated. And he said they were fantastic. And he'd sit on the back of the bus, you know, after winning away on the last game of the season. And it almost felt like winning a trophy. Now, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we get into a relegation battle, because that would be awful. But in saying that, they are fantastic moments that these clubs seem to have. And we, as Tottenham Hotspur, unfortunately, are just about the only club that just never has these moments. You know, Villa was another one, and they're now going to have a moment, aren't they? Because they've been relegated, and so they're going to go this whole season, and they'll probably get promoted, and that will be a wonderful moment for that football club. And again, I'm not saying that I want to get relegated, but what I'm saying is we need to have more of these moments. You know, harping back to when we drew 0-0 with AC Milan. You know, all right, it was fantastic, but not that great, is it? The Arsenal, that was in 2008 when we beat Arsenal at home. In that semi-final, we should have loads more of those. We should be in that League Cup semi-final every single year, and we should be celebrating and having these wonderful moments, walking down the high road, you know, or wherever you are, dancing around your living room, singing, you know, hugging the wife, saying, you know, we're going to Wembley. But we just don't have them. Yes, we beat the odd team here or there, Man City, of course, Man United last season, wonderful. But in all honesty, who actually enjoyed the summer? You know, we qualified for the Champions League, which is what Marcus is asking there. Yes, we qualified for the Champions League, but I hardly had a great summer. Did you? You know, all the fans coming up, oh, you came third in a two-horse race. Well, no, we didn't, because we were never even close to Leicester. You know, I think the closest we got was 7 points. So really, it was a one-horse race, and of course, all the other sides laid down for them, and that's a fact. I watched every single game in the last sort of run in the end of the season, and every team, before they even played them, the managers would come out, Tony Pulis, oh, well, we really want Leicester to win the league this year. Well, wait there, you're playing him on Sunday. You can't say things like that, you know, and everybody else is saying, oh, yeah, we desperately want to beat Tottenham. So, you know, last season was completely unfair, you know. Is it sour grapes? Am I being bitter? Yes, but you know, that's the way it was. Swansea, I think, played them, and they were atrocious. Just basically, go on, score a goal, not a problem. And you know, all shaking hands at the end of each game. You watched it on Sky, didn't you? All shaking hands, going, "Well done, well done." Yeah, I hope you win the league. Well, you know, absolutely ridiculous. So you know, we need these moments, and these moments come in cup finals and semi-finals at the Lane, and you know, that's what we need much more of. And unfortunately, we don't do it because, like I say, we go up to Liverpool, who they play their second string. You know, why didn't we fox them at the last minute and actually put in our best players? Why didn't we have a bench full of our best players? Bring Son on, bring Eriksen on. You know, we brought Lamella on, and he wasn't too bad, I suppose. But I wasn't, you know, when he came on, I wasn't like, oh, here we go. You know, oh, this will be fantastic. Lamella to save the day. Because, quite frankly, he's probably the worst of our best players, if you like. You know, we should have bought on far better than him. But hey, that's gone now, I suppose. And now we've got to look forward. Let's have a look at if we've got another question here. Anthony Silva, should we do the same in the FA Cup as we did in the League Cup, field the second choice players? Absolutely not. The FA Cup is on Saturdays, so, you know, like playing a league game. I know last year we played a bit of a weakened side against Crystal Palace, you know, and went out. Again, absolutely ridiculous. You know, I think we beat Leicester, didn't we, in the away fixture, which was great. Great win. And then we go and, you know, throw it away against Palace. Well, I don't want to do that this year. Look, if we play a lower side, then fine, play a second string. But if we play a Premier League tied, sorry, you play all your best players, and if they get injured, they get injured. Like, players can get injured in training. So you play all your best team, and you say, you make a statement, and you say, we want to win this cup this year. Not, oh, maybe, because we're still in the Champions League, and, oh, look, we've got Real Madrid on Wednesday, so we'll only play a weakened side. What's the point in that? Honestly, what is the point? Okay, and I'm not saying, you know, you give up, you just go, oh, we're going to lose to Real Madrid, so what's... No, you play them in the FA Cup, and then you play them in the wherever it is you play the next game, the Champions League game. You play them in both games. Other teams seem to do that, you know, and top players surely will want to do that. And if they don't want to do that, see you later. You know, can't play for Tottenham, you know, because that's what it's all about. Winning trophies and you know, being a really good side as well. I know you know, when they made that draw in the Liverpool game, you know, Thompson sort of went, oh, cheers, you know, we didn't want Spurs. But actually, I thought, well, you do want Spurs, because the thing is, if you get a lower side, you know, I think Leeds, they've got in the next round, I guarantee that Leeds will be a harder team to beat than a second-rate Tottenham, because we, you know, we didn't really look up for it at all. I even think, you know, the instructions were just, you know, go out there and enjoy yourself, and, you know, if we lose, we lose, which, you know, is one of the you know, Poch's, you know, only downfall, really, as well as being a, you know, fantastic manager in 99% of the time. For that League Cup, I'm sorry, it is important. It's our greatest memory, certainly in my last 25 years. You know, the Champions League games were great, but the best memory for me in the last 25 years was 5-1 against Arsenal and then beating Chelsea in the final. And, you know, people will be listening to this going, well, not my best memory. Well, then you're either very young or you're not telling the truth, because, honestly, It was absolutely fantastic. Walking out of Wembley after beating Chelsea, absolutely magical. Yeah, great walking out of White Hart Lane when we beat Inter Milan. That was, yeah, great. All right, fantastic. Not as good as walking out at Wembley against Chelsea. So, you know, there we go. Let's have a look if we've got any more questions here. I know Ricky from the Fighting Cock asked, why am I doing it now? It's because it's half term, isn't it? Lovely. Not why I'm a teacher. And a question here for A Love for the Lane, which was about Glenn Hoddle's birthday and what's your favourite Hoddle goal. For me, my favourite Hoddle goal is the Oxford one, where he passes it between the two defenders and then dummies the keeper. And then right after he scores that, it goes to the bench and you see the guy sitting next to David Pleat. And he sort of goes, whoo, like that. It's a brilliant reaction. And it makes the goal even better. That's my favourite. Look, the Watford goal is probably the best, isn't it? I mean, that is awesome. Bit of skill and just a wonderful, unique goal. But for me personally, it was the Oxford goal. The kit as well, my favourite kit. But then when you watch the... I know Hoddle's favourite is Man United. He told my dad that once and he actually recreated the goal. I would have loved to have been there when he did that. His favourite one's that. And I saw the Nottingham Forest one this morning. What a volley that was. Fantastic. I think there's one against Stoke in his debut. It was a brilliant goal. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, I didn't quite get to see him play. I mean, I went to the cup final in 87, but I was 10 and I really can't remember it very much, unfortunately. And I went a couple of times to the Lane sort of in the late 80s, 86, 87, but I can't really remember it that much because I was a bit too young. So I didn't really watch Hoddle that much. I watched Waddle. You know, that was sort of, he was sort of my first superstar that I loved watching. And then, you know, Gazza and Lineker and Klinsmann and Ginola and Gareth Bale. And I suppose now, who are we watching now? Dembele, I guess. You know, so lovely players to go and watch. And, you know, Hoddle, what a legend. And met him a couple of times. Very, very nice fella as well. Right, what I'm going to do is I'll go through the players this season, give them a mark. We'll do the Hotspurs podcast scoring system. And by the way, if you're not, you know, really into this, if you know it's just me talking and you think, oh, it's a bit rubbish, then please, you know, you don't have to listen to it. Or the best thing that I do if I think podcasts are too long is I put them on 1.5 speed, and I sound a lot better on 1.5 speed, by the way. You even listen to our show on 1.5 speed. It just speeds it up, you know. Gets rid of all the you knows, which I know I say all the time, so apologies for that, and saying and things like that. So anyway, moving on. Hugo Lloris, going to give him a Hotspurs podcast scoring system. He's 1 if I think he's been pretty good. He's half if he's been all right, and a 0 if I don't think they've been very good. So Hotspurs podcast scoring system for the players after, was it 9 games we played, something like that. Hugo Lloris, 1, fantastic. Best save I've ever seen against Leverkusen. Fantastic. And yeah, he's definitely gets a 1. Carl Walker, he gets a 1 as well. Massive improvement from last year. I'd like to see him bombing on a little bit more. Sometimes in games, it seems he thinks to himself, right, I've done a lot of bombing on, I'm going to stay back now. I can see why if you're catching your breath, but, you know, keep bombing on because I love it when you do that. And he's got rid of those silly mistakes that he made last year. I mean, you know, and what I'm talking about is real silly mistakes, like ball rolling under his foot or hoofing it up and out of play in the first few minutes. You know, really setting his stall out, like, you know, terrible. So, but he's got rid of those and he looks a much better player. You know, someone who can push to be captain as well, I think, in years to come. You know, you always see him sort of on these little videos that he does for Spurs, and he seems to be a real team player, you know, essence of the squad. Danny Rose, he's been fantastic. He definitely gets a 1. As another podcast said, he seems to be in the wars every single game. You know, just get battered from pillar to post. And, you know, I love that about him. He's, you know, full of heart. And who would have said that a couple of years ago when he was absolutely dreadful? So fantastic, Danny Rose. Really, really good player. Toby Alderweireld, Obviously, he gets a one, barely puts a foot wrong. Jan Vertonghen, he's come on as well. He's having an excellent season. You know, a class footballer as well. And you just want to see him put a smile on his face a bit more. You know, maybe pop up with a couple more goals. But he gets a one. Heung-min Son, someone who people wanted to get rid of in the summer. Not me. I was like, you know, this guy's got something. Excellent finisher. And, you know, he's obviously been fantastic last month. Not so good last couple of games, but hopefully he'll recapture that form. And I think he's a starter for me. I think he's brilliant. Jansen, you can only really give a half to, you know, works hard. Is he the new Soldado? Well, I hope not, because Soldado, after about a dozen games, just gave up. And people say he worked hard and all this. No, he didn't. It's a fact. He didn't. He just stopped running. Sorry, but he was terrible. And his finishing was atrocious as well. You know, Jansen, the only criticism I've got of him is he now needs to be a bit more selfish. Get himself in the box. Get himself on that last man. You know, Harry Kane, that's how he scored his couple of goals. Got right up to the goal almost and tapped it in. That's what Jansen needs to do. So, yeah, okay, he holds the ball up. He gets his big old fat bum in the way and pushes the defender back. But he now needs to start spinning on it and having a few shots. And so what if they go wayward? You know, I think as a striker, if he's having 10 shots a game, you know, that's what he needs to be thinking. And you know what? If he has 10 shots a game and they all go in row Z or whatever, just come out at the end of the game and say, sorry, but I was trying to score. And I don't think any Spurs fan would, you know, unless there's a definite pass on. But what I don't want to see is him getting the ball and then a little layoff when he should have had a shot. Put your foot through it and, you know, try and score a goal. That's what he needs to do. Harry Kane, difficult to give him a score, but, you know, not as good as last season, I don't think, so far. You know, so needs to maybe get his confidence back after, you know, his dismal displays for England. You know, even when he finished taking corners, he was taking free kicks and my goodness, were they awful. So he needs to get his confidence back a little bit. Eric Lamella gets a half, really. You know, people say he's a luxury player. He's not. He's more of a Scott Parker. He's more of a get stuck in. You know, and those tackles, my goodness, when he's on a yellow card and he goes flying in with a second tackle. And then he sort of looks at the ref, doesn't he? And sort of goes, what, me? I didn't even touch it. And it's like, yes, you did. And you're going to get sent off very soon. So be careful, Lamella. But, you know, the stats don't, you know, they sort of say that he's brilliant with his assists and you know, he won the penalty against Liverpool. So, you know, fair play to him, really, you know, if he for his stats. But I think, you know, he gets on people's nerves because he gives the ball away too much. So, you know, play it a little bit more simpler and, you know, and another one who should have more shots, really. Victor Wanyama, what a revelation. Definite one. Really been fantastic. Vorm, he's come in and done well, so I'll give him a one as well. And Kudu, not seen enough of him really, and wasn't impressed with Liverpool. Sorry, you know, just not good. You know, people were saying that in France were saying he's not as good as Ndiaye, you know, and I thought Ndiaye was pretty poor. So we'll see with that one. But I'm not going to give him a score because it's a bit unfair. But we'll see. You know, hopefully he'll come on in the next few games and, you know, prove us wrong a little bit. Dyer, he's been all right. I'll give him a one. A brilliant interview he did recently where he said he's happy to play anywhere. You know, he said he'd be stupid to sort of start saying, I want to play here, I want to play there, because he's only 22. That's a great attitude. And I think Poch likes to have a little bit of fun with him. I saw him like sort of winding him up the other day, like stamping on his toes or something. So I think he likes to have a bit of fun with him. You know, he's obviously a big old meathead and, you know, we like that. He's trying to change the culture of Spurs. So Eric Dyer, definite one for me. Trippier, whenever he plays, he's good, isn't he? He got a brilliant cross on him and he seems to be someone that, you know, really wants to do well for the side. You know, I'd like to see Trippier at right back and I'd like to see Walker pushed onto right wing. Just to give it a go, see how it goes. Now, people come back at me and say, don't be so ridiculous. So, well, how do you know? So let's give it a go. Couple of games, see if it works. Because it might do. Remember Gareth Bale? Sissoko, you know, he's upset a lot of people. I don't know if he's a real team player at the moment. You know, I want to see him score a goal. Because if he scores a goal, you'll see the other players. And if all the other players go running over to him and sort of, you know, celebrate with him, you can tell that he, you know, maybe he's in with the team. That's what he needs to do. At the moment, it seems like he's not really in with the team, if you know what I mean. You know, I don't know what his attitude's like, but you know, the one thing we have to do with him is get behind him, because if we start slagging him off and start, you know, booing him or not being happy if he takes a shot, you know, he's going to go the same way as you know, people like Andros Townsend, and just going to go down and down and down and down. You know, this is the sort of player to me that we have to get behind. And you know what, this time next season, I would not be surprised at all if he's fantastic. You know, if he does a bit of a Sun, he has a bit of a, not a great season this season, but next season he comes in and he's fantastic. I would not be surprised at all. Dembele, my favourite player, he's our best player. He gets a one, although he hasn't played that much. You know, it's a joy to have him back in the side. Dele Alli just reminds me of a Frank Lampard, someone who just wants the ball all the time, and he will make mistakes. And he will give the ball away. But, you know, for someone that wants the ball the whole time, we've got to encourage that. And he wants to score loads of goals as well. So that, again, in that Frank Lampard mould, who Frank Lampard was not the best player of all time, but he had three or four shots every single half. And I think that's what Dele Alli needs to do. Just think to himself, I want to score today. And be that brilliant midfielder we've been crying out for, who gets 20, 25 goals every season. You know, and that's what we really want from him. And Christian Eriksen, he only gets a half, doesn't he? Because he doesn't do enough. His game isn't strength. So I'm a bit surprised that he plays so often, actually, because he doesn't seem like a Poch-type player, someone who gets stuck in. Eriksen certainly doesn't get stuck in. But the things that Eriksen's good at, which is, you know, unlocking the door and playing a brilliant curling pass to somebody, setting somebody up, having shots, he doesn't do it enough. So he needs to up his game. And I know other podcasts have said the same thing, but and I agree with him on that. Is that he just needs to do more of the things that he's good at, which is being creative and having shots. Kevin Wimmer didn't look great against Liverpool, but you know, he's only come in a couple of times. Feel really sorry for him, actually, because obviously he made the tackle of the season last year against Arsenal and hasn't really had a look in. I don't understand this whole, you know, Yang Vertonghen plays on the left, so, and Wimmer plays on the left. Sorry, they're centre-backs. I couldn't tell you where Ledley King played, right or left. I couldn't tell you where Gary Mabbott played, on the right or the left. I couldn't tell you where most central defenders play, either right on the right or left. They're just central defenders, aren't they? So I think we're going a little bit too, you know, into this whole, oh, we can't play with Jan Vertonghen because they both play on the left. I think that's wrong to go down that road. So, you know, centre-backs are centre-backs. So if Jan or Toby are injured, Wimmer comes in. You know, I haven't seen enough of Carter Vickers. You know, or funnily enough, Dyer, you know, obviously needs to play as well. So I'm not saying Wimmer definitely needs to come in, but all this, oh, we can't play with Jan because they both play on the left, that's not right, in my opinion. They're centre-backs, they should be centre-backs. Thomas Carroll, obviously, you know, he's very lightweight, a good little player, but you know, at the moment, he's struggling. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes at Christmas. And Harry Winks looks a good little player. So I think he's above him in the pecking order. Ben Davis, you know, whereas Danny Rose gets stuck in, he's, you know, looks like he's in a battle every game. Ben Davis doesn't have a hair out of place. He's got to step it up a little bit more. You know, I want Ben Davis to do what Trippier does, which is really get himself in the game, show that passion that he shows for Wales, and try and take Danny Rose's place. You know, I haven't got a preference. You know, if Ben Davis is playing better than Danny Rose, play Ben Davis. But at the moment, it's a clear winner is Danny Rose. And, you know, you wouldn't have said that a year ago, because I know most people were saying Ben Davis is a better defender. Well, not at the moment, because at the moment, Ben Davis is a passenger in most games. I think he needs to really up his game and think, you know, I want to take this place. I want left back to be my position. And again, is Danny Rose somebody that could push on up into left midfield? Don't see why not. I think that's where he started. And what a strong side that would be. Can you imagine with Walker and Rose both in that in those wing back positions? I think or winger positions. I think that would be incredible. What a strong side. So there we go. I don't know if I've missed anybody out, but they're the players in my opinion who have been all right. Yeah, it's been a pretty good start to the season, I suppose. You know, gutted about the Liverpool game, as I tweeted, that was really important for us, for our season, for our club, and that's gone now, rather frustratingly. We've got Leicester coming up, you know, and you know the trouble is, we play this weakened side, and everyone goes, because we've got Leicester and then we've got Leverkusen. Well, sorry, but just because we played a weakened side against Liverpool doesn't mean that we automatically go and win these next two games, you know. And even Leicester, who might put out a weakened side because then they've got their Champions League game, we still will struggle. I'm sure we will, because they're going to put 10 men behind the ball. And unless we get an early goal, you know, we'll struggle. And even if we do get an early goal, whenever we do get an early goal, we normally don't get the second or third. So, you know, I'm expecting a very, very tight game, and hopefully we can nick it. You know, I want to see the new Spurs. The new Spurs goes and wins these games. We get that all important goal, which you know, means that they have to come out a little bit more. But what I don't want, obviously, is same as last year where we battered Leicester and then they won 1-0. And then you got, you know, Robbie Savage and everyone going, well, there you go. You know, they beat you, so they're the better side. No, they weren't the better side. Teams laid down to them, and we battered them at White Hart Lane. And it was just lucky that they got that goal again. Bitter, yes. So there we go. Arsenal playing against Sunderland. Please win that. You know, there's nothing better. I support two teams, Tottenham and whoever's playing Arsenal. So, you know, if you don't like that, then unlucky. It's just a fact that I can't stand them. Know a lot of Arsenal fans, and when they lose, it's so funny because it's like the end of the world. You know, Wenger hokey cokey and all that sort of stuff. So, so funny. And don't you worry, they are obsessed with Tottenham. So all this Spurs are obsessed with Arsenal. Let me tell you, they are obsessed with Tottenham. Whenever I meet an Arsenal fan, the first thing they say is, and they say, you know, what we're a load of rubbish. And it's like, well, yeah, but we're a load of rubbish. We finish one place behind you in the league every single season. So, you know, I don't think so, mate. So, you know, it's all good fun. It's all good rivalry. And let's keep it going. So, yeah, that's it, really. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, then, you know, you don't have to listen. But hopefully I've given, you know, a couple of different opinions. Jason Govan and me have a back and forth about Europa. And this is where I'm a little bit of a hypocrite, because I don't think Europa is a trophy that we need to go and win. Because, again, it's the bragging rights, really. And people say, oh, it doesn't matter about Arsenal and Chelsea fans and their opinions and things. But to me, it does matter, because I want to win a trophy where I can then turn around and go, you know, we've won this trophy. And with the Europa, you know, you're going to do it after winning Europa. They laugh in your face, because it's such a, you know, to me, it's a glorified Intertoto Cup. You know, it's not the same as the UEFA Cup. The UEFA Cup was second, third and fourth place teams in the league. You played brilliant teams from Europe, and you played about 8 or 9 games to win it. The Europa League is 20-odd games, and then you've got a, or is it 19 games, something like that. You play in half-filled stadiums. I mean, did anyone see that Southampton-Inter Milan game the other night? You know, there's about 5,000 fans in that San Siro. They didn't even open the top, all the top terrace, top tier. So they don't take it seriously. Either. And, you know, Carabag away, oh my goodness, how embarrassing was that? You know, I know some Spurs fans enjoy it. I just don't. You know, schlepping up to Tottenham to watch these Europa games, they're all right, but, you know, I'd much rather just, you know, rest and be ready for the weekend fixture. You know, That's my opinion. You know, I can't change how I feel, you know, and I might be wrong. You know, Europa might be, you know, if we do ever actually get into a final, which, by the way, we've not even been close to. If we do get into a final, I might get excited. I might think, you know, wow, you know, I'm really looking forward to this. But I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't be able to go, because obviously teacher, and I can't get the day off work to go. You know, whereas the League Cup, go to Wembley, have a fantastic day. So, you know, little differences between the two. We've got this Champions League coming up. Going to Wembley again, really looking forward to that. Just want to celebrate a goal, really. If I can jump up and down and go crazy, that'd be fantastic. Haven't done that for years and years and years. Didn't really celebrate the Toby Alderweireld goal because we were 2-0 down. Didn't celebrate the goal against Chelsea because we were 2-0 down. So, you know, to actually celebrate a goal at Wembley would be lovely. You know, hug a stranger and all that. That would be brilliant. So please, not 0-0 or 0-1 to Leverkusen. let's at least score a goal. So we could all actually celebrate and jump up and down. That would be nice. Right. Good. That's it for me then. And maybe I'll speak to you next time. Obviously desperate to beat Arsenal in a couple of weeks. So I might do a show then. Anyway. Oh, one final thing about these naming rights. With regards to the train station, change it from White Hart Lane to Tottenham Hotspur. Well, my favourite two words in the world are Tottenham Hotspur, so I don't see the big furore. I know it's tradition and we should stick to White Hart Lane, but I'm not that bothered if it changes to Tottenham Hotspur. If they do, then, you know, okay, we call it Tottenham Hotspur. It's quite nice, actually, but the way some people are banging on about it, you know, it's like they're going to call it North Arsenal or something. No, they're not. They might call it Tottenham Hotspur. Not a problem, in my opinion. And the other one was the name of the stadium. My favourite one is if they've got the Hard Rock, they've got the Hard Rock Cafe, Hard Rock Hotel. So I'm sure they've got a bit of money. And with the NFL links as well, call it the Hard Rock White Hart Lane or whatever. Hard Rock Stadium. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Especially if they sort out the food as well, because the catering at Tottenham is absolutely atrocious. You know, I refuse to buy anything from there. The awful pies and revolting. So a few nice Hard Rock burgers or chicken wings or something would be nice. But of course, we'll still call it White Hart Lane. We just hope it's nothing naff like the McDonald's Stadium or something like that. Something quite cool would be good. And what's cooler than Hard Rock? Anyway, cheers. See you later. Come on, you Spurs.